With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia. He's done it.
James Beattie, oh, Belter!
Mané for a hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mané!
Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley!
Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike!
We'll pass this in, and he's got it in as well!
And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcasts on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of ITN. I'm your host, Ray Hunt. No Moscow Mush today. We have a substitute, Tim Bazance. This is episode number 135. Today, me and Tim will chat over our first win of the season against Leeds and look ahead to our visit of Burnley next Saturday. Tim, a win, finally, a massive win, a first win that hopefully can kickstart the season.
Absolutely. And the opportunity to beat down a downtrodden Leeds who had a number of different injuries was a great opportunity for us to succeed and lay the foundation going forward. And let's hope we get a series of good results here coming up.
Yeah. And a crucial run of fixtures, actually, with like Burnley and Watford to round off the month. So, yeah, this is I know we seem to say it every week, but it's a crucial run of games right now.
Absolutely. And the expectations are is that we have to get points from these. In order to get and be successful in the league, we got to be able to beat the teams around us and get and secure significant results. So Leeds themselves are downtrodden this year. And who knows, they might end up pulling a Sheffield United and have that second season syndrome and eventually go down. But because they're playing like it, obviously they had a lot of injuries. They had Phillips out. They had Bamford out. Yeah, and Rafinha was not out, but he was playing for Brazil about 48 hours prior to game time. So we got lucky and with that in terms of timing. And we'll take it. It doesn't matter. You got to beat everybody when you can when the game is on the schedule.
Exactly. And it's more expectation rather than hope for these next coming games. So that's good as opposed to the other way around. But before we get too far into it, like, how are you? How are you doing? How's your week been?
Oh, it's been productive. I had a 4-day work week, which was great, and had a good time. Last weekend, went and saw some friends, went and did some college football tailgating, which was a great time. I was at Virginia Tech Notre Dame game. It was a lot of fun.
Right, yeah. Excellent.
It was a lot of fun.
And yesterday, Between the Sticks again.
Yeah. So if you ever want to see my bruises, they are literally just up and down my entire body. But 1-0 win for my we call this not the Sunday league but the rec league that I play in. I still have the imprint of the ball in my arm to this moment. This is about 12 hours. You can see the hexagonal imprint on my forearm from where the ball hit. It was such a rocket shot. And then on top of that, I saved a penalty kick, and it was the correct call. Got a yellow card, took the guy out. He kicked the ball wide. He completely missed it, but then I had to show off and save it and had probably 5 or 6 or 7 saves. And I don't normally like to toot my own horn, but that was the best game. That was the best game that I've played for this rec leagues, which is about 60 games, and I'll take it. And even other people on the team were giving me props. The ref gave me props, and it's good to be successful. But ultimately, the win was good for the team, and we definitely did not deserve it though. So.
Hey, listen, we need to cheer on the success whenever we get it, right? Because obviously Saints winning, you winning, and also that team up the road got a bit of a batter in yesterday. So all good, all good. Before we get into the news, a quick reminder, buy me a coffee. If you appreciate what we do and you feel like you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head to buymeacoffee.com/in-that-number. Okay, Tim, should we get to the ITN news quick?
Let's do it.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, so a lot of our news was centred around the international roundup. Kevin's absence has hindered that, obviously, so apologies. I will just say that, you know, James Ward-Prowse called up by Southgate, confusingly, actually. And he scored in that 5-0 win in Andorra. Elianusi, of course, was prominent with a brace in Oslo against Montenegro, and man of the moment, Armando Broja, with the all-important winner against Hungary. He's making a habit of that at the moment, isn't he? And Che Adams picked up an injury that kept him out of that Leeds game. Nothing too serious, we hear. Just a muscle injury, which he picked up in Scotland's victory over Israel. So what do you think, Tim? Do you think he's going to be back for Burnley?
50-50 chance. So
More, just jump on the back of that one. Is he really going to be warrant a start after yesterday?
Well, let's see what Broja feels like if he's been injured. Obviously, he took a clobbering after he scored the goal. So he was hobbling off, and he ran another 20 minutes after that, too. So we'll see. Now, in terms of warranting a start, that's a debate that Ralph can make. I think they both do a great job for the roles that they play. Broja's got the hot hand, though, and we'll just see. You want them to be able to play 100%, because 95% of Che is not as good as 100% of Broja, and vice versa.
Absolutely, yeah. Other news, Caleb Watts signed a fresh deal to keep him at the club until 2023. His expiring deal was due to end at the end of this season. Martin Semmons has hinted that there could be more in the coming weeks or months. McCarthy expected to be next. Need to get that important business sorted out sooner rather than later, really, because you don't want any expiring deals on the table. Jack Stevens also to have a new deal on the table pretty soon. But yeah, we don't want to have another situation like Ryan Bertrand not signing that deal and then, you know, going for a free or someone going for a discount price. We don't really need that.
Although I will take how our replacement Perot is doing for him. Honestly, I'm very happy. And so it turned out for the better, and now Bertrand and Vestergaard are hanging on the left side of the defense over in Leicester, but they haven't had necessarily the best start to the season over there.
They did all right yesterday, let's say.
Yeah, well, I guess anyone could take pot shots at United with Ole Gunnar still in charge. It's Solskjaer.
Loan watch, we're going to the loanies. Jake Vokins, he's returning to full fitness after his broken metatarsal. You may remember he joined Ross County on a season-long loan but he returned to Southampton to seek the treatment. He is now heading back up north to fight for a spot in the Ross County side. I expect to see him back in around 2 weeks. So that's good news for Jake Vokins, and hopefully he can get some action up there.
That's great to hear, because if for a metatarsal injury for a football player, at 10 weeks out, being able to get back, bone injuries can make a huge and significant difference, especially in the foot. We can see that in American football here, but the longevity of the injury and the ailments, hopefully it's just a pure bone break and not any further ligament damage, because that could affect the overall play going forward. And him getting back to Ross County in 10 weeks shows really good signs of progress, and I'm happy to hear that and wish him all the best up in the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah, and Malky Mackay, the manager of Ross County, said it's like having a new signing without having him back, so I'm guessing he's going to put him straight in. So we will keep an eye on him for sure and let you know about his progress. Kane Ramsey of Crewe was an unused substitute in Crewe's 2-0 win over Wigan in the EFL Trophy, and yesterday another unused sub as Crewe lost 3-0 at Fleetwood. They are 23rd in League One, so not good for them. Dan and Linda Lewis Lincoln lost 2-1 in their EFL Trophy home tie against Sunderland. He came on the 69th minute with little effect. And yesterday, a 2-1 home victory over Charlton, come off the bench in the dying embers of that one. No time to cause an effect there. Lincoln, 13th in League One. Will Ferry's been injured at Crawley. They got hammered 4-0 at home by Leighton Orient in the EFL Trophy, and he was sidelined through injury. He also missed the win over Rochdale, but returned to the starting 11 in yesterday's home loss to Sutton United, and he was taken off on the 65th minute. Crawley are 12th in League Two. On to the Bees. Not been in action since that 4-1 loss to Charlton in the EFL Trophy. And they play Monday night away to Wolves in Premier League Two as that returns. The women's team, again, they haven't played since the 3rd of October. And that was that 9-0 win over Keynsham. Had the Cardiff game called off and the game against the Blue Lot up the road also postponed until further notice. They next play on the 31st of October, and that's an away trip to Bridgewater United on Halloween. It's going to be scary for them.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay then, Leeds at home yesterday, a 1-0 win, a first win. Relief was all around the stadium. What was so pleasing was that, you know, it was just a dominant performance and nearly everyone played to their full potential. There was no bad performers on the day. You know, Armando Broja securing all the 3 points in the 53rd minute, having a great return to the side, looking sharp, looking solid. The midfield too with Romeu and Diallo, awesome. Redmond probably playing the best he's played in, dare I say it, in years. McCarthy had little to do. The centre-back pairing of Salisu and Bednarik were rock solid. Just an amazing, amazing 3 points, and 1-0 does not do it justice.
Absolutely, yeah. There's been so many good performers. You can't really knock anybody here for just about anything, except for maybe that Salisu let through for on Dan James in the second half. Beyond that, like you said, Redmond, outside of the Bournemouth game in the FA Cup last year, I haven't seen Redmond play this well in 3-4 years or so. So props to everybody. Congrats. Well-deserved first win. And let's just keep doing it. Let's get the momentum going.
Obviously, without skipper James Ward-Prowse, ending a sequence of 118 games, suspended, obviously, for that red card against Chelsea. But five changes, Tim. KWP, Walcott, Teller, Adam Armstrong, and JWP all out. Perro, Gineppo, Broja, Elianusi, and Diallo enter. and Romeu takes the armband. What did you think about that 11, honestly?
I mean, I liked it. There's a couple different things that really stood out to me. Is on the left side, Perreault and Gineppo, they have a link-up play, and they have been, I think you, if you go back and look and see all the previous starting lineups, Perreault and Gineppo have been the main starters on that left side when Perreault has started. That goes to a testament to whatever it might be, but ultimately I think it's because they both speak French. That's
they've started well together. They have got a nice link up. And I do kind of take your what you're saying there, because whenever Kyle Walker-Peters has played on the left, it's been Redmond that's been playing out there. So yeah, whenever Perreault steps in, you know that Gineppo is going to be there as well.
Absolutely. And so Diallo is the natural replacement for JWP to slot in, and absolutely phenomenal performance because he truly was box to box. You could see him all over the place. Similar role that JWP plays. Was very happy with that. And then Redmond. So Redmond and Broja, I said in our Discord group, was actually a really good combination. The reason being is one of the things that we know about Redmond, regardless of, you know, what, how clinical he is his ability to basically be all over the place. And right now he played as that second striker role to feed Broja in. So we saw that with the goal. We saw that with a number of different times where he's able to drop back in, feed off, and then work going forward, whether it be going to Gineppo or Elianussi, and specifically Elianussi there. There's a couple of good times where he fed it in. And then Diallo came up, was rocking it really well. Romeu played higher up the pitch than he normally does. So all in all, in terms of the changes that they made, and Broja, he did it because of Albania, and then also with Adams being out. Just all around success. Very happy.
Yeah, and it was good individual performances all round, as we've said, you know, from start to finish. And just Leeds didn't get the chance to get going. And I know that a lot of pundits are going to say that Leeds were poor here, but in fact, we didn't let them play because we were winning those midfield battles. We're winning the first balls. Something that we didn't do. Okay, you know, I'm not going to say Chelsea because it's Chelsea, but something that we didn't do against Wolves, you know. And we took the game to them. We drove the ball forward at every opportunity. And, you know, the midfield two of Romeu and Diallo, they were so, so good. So classy, cleaning up everything. And early on, it looked like Livramento was seeing a lot of the ball, and he was looking to get going and running at the team every chance he got.
I mean, we had six set piece plays in the forward half. Our heat map is so far pushed forward compared to what Leeds is at. I mean, they're just absolutely crazy with 19 different attempts, looking at it all, totally just looking good when it comes to being aggressive and then not making, the necessary errors to lead to mistakes, except for Salisu. But beyond that,
later, yeah.
Yeah, we just dominate, like the game felt comfortable that even though we went one up, and yes, it is Southampton, so you're expecting that they're going to lose at some point, It felt more comfortable than I normally do at the end of the game. So being able to create those chances, keep that high press up. We looked so good in the first half without scoring. That doesn't mean anything because you look good, but you don't have anything on the scoreboard, but we'll take it. And if they just can continue to do something like this every game, we're going to have a nice, comfortable mid to low mid table finish.
I will take that at the moment, trust me. Redmond seemed to be the main ingredient for the attacks. Everything seemed to go through him. He had an urgency about him, and it was like a beaming confidence, which is the Redmond that everybody can get on board with. And it's almost as if he was expected to lead the charge. You know, is that because, you know, he's one of the most senior players, or was it because James Ward-Prowse wasn't included? Does he feel he's like, you know, the pressure's more on him, do you think?
Well, I think his head was just shinier than it normally was. So everything was just, gleaming off him. He had a nice glow, a little gliss. So I really think it's actually because the way that they had it set up. I believe because he had that second striker role with Broja. Him coming in, playing a little bit more centrally, where when he plays out wide, he might feel he's more locked into what he should be doing. So that freedom itself is great to hear and see that he was able to make it. So I think that was why he was able to thrive. Overall, to me, he showed that link of play. We saw the Newcastle game as well. He's the one who fed the ball in for both of the goals there. Just take it. And it's like I said, the best performance that we've had in a long time from him.
It's good when we set up like that, because as I say, we got a lot of energetic players. You know, you've got Gineppo, you've got Elianusa, you've got Redmonds and Broya. They've got a lot of players that are just going to run around the place. But I only ask because on Twitter, I've seen someone's unpopular opinion saying that we played with a little bit more freedom without James Ward-Prowse. We all know that James Ward-Prowse hasn't been playing well this season, but to take him out of the team and for us to play so much better, it could just be a one-off. Who knows? But it certainly looked like that Redmond had more freedom, and he had that confidence and the urgency in his game. And that urgency almost paid off early, because he tested Melier, wicked shot from outside the box after a little 1-2 with Gineppo, linking up quite well with Gineppo again.
I will not disagree with them, but I will also say that we played Leeds, but where we've played with previous teams, we played much more compact, which has allowed us to have better defense and staying in that compactness, being successful against Manchester City, Manchester United, West Ham, teams that have really gotten to us before. And that compactness has led to the defense. Yes, it has stifled us going forward, but playing against a Leeds team with a bunch of injuries, that was only to our benefit. Now, let's look at the next three games, well, two games after this one as well. Now, we've got Burnley, which we may have the opportunity to play free as well, just because they have such a rigid formation, but then Chelsea. So if you really want to answer those questions, this is a third of the sample size that I think you will see that we will have a lot more rigidity when we play in that EFL Cup round of 16 game against Chelsea here on the 26th.
Yeah, and I heard Ralph's pre-match presser when he said that he needs to start fast and you know, hard against Leeds, and obviously that probably wouldn't have been the case against the teams like Man United and Man City, where you're just going to keep your shape and just try and, you know, get your chances when you get them. Obviously, they wanted to start well against Leeds. They did that. It's going to be interesting to see what they do against Burnley, because they've got to do exactly what they did against Leeds. You know, take the game to them. You mentioned that we had some set pieces early on, and we almost scored from one of them. Elianusa on the back stick just couldn't get enough on it. And that was back-to-back corners that Broya stuck ahead on it. And I mean no disrespect to Adam Armstrong here, but Broya is certainly more of a target man and a presence in the box. You know, he's big-bodied, he's more physical, causing problems throughout the game, not just from set pieces. You know, he could be a real weapon.
Yeah, he's got 8 inches on him, though. So I think Adam Armstrong is a good way to describe him as squirrely. He'll navigate and he'll go around you, or Broja will just.
He's got the finesse, hasn't he? And Broja is a more of a, you know.
He's a bully.
Yeah,
he's a bully.
And Saints, Saints need that. We need a striker like that.
Yeah, and his game is only going to thrive in the years going forward, because as that big-bodied player, he's only, 19, 20 right now? That's fantastic. Okay. Where you're not going to be able to rely on speed the rest of your life, but if you can get by and just, just find that positioning, find that form, he will be very good for them. Now, whether or not he will be able to knock into the Chelsea's lineup, that's a whole different question. But with us, we're happy that we have him for the season.
Saints are winning those balls in the middle of the park. Like, Leeds couldn't get through any 50-50, and we were coming out on top. Dispossessing, intercepting, blocking, you know, and from that, you know, the movement came, the running, the energy, creating chances. It was all there. But we just couldn't find that goal. And that's really worrying. You know, that was worrying me at the half. I'm sure it was you. Defensively, rock solid, not a problem. Bednarik, Salisi were exceptional. But did we have that quality to find that elusive goal? I mean, at halftime, were you concerned?
Yeah, naturally, because that's what we saw all season long. We've had three games now where we've had zero goals, and you just don't know where they're going to come from, what's going to happen. We saw that they had the potential, but who knows? And for us, we could have easily given it up. And the Wolves game, we had four times as many chances as the Wolves had, and yet they came on top. And we were all anticipating that they were going to squeak out a 1-0 win, and we were going to be downtrodden and hate everything. And be, you know, kicking shit left and right, causing problems, breaking stuff, whatever it might have been. Yeah, I was a little scared.
Yeah, that was my worry, you know, because the pace of Dan James, I mean, we all knew with the absence of key players like Rafinha, you know, Bamford, Phillips, it was going to be something like the explosive pace of Dan James, you know, putting in the balls, maybe going round players. Salisu was showing his class and, you know, he was reading the play so well. Apart from that, you know, that chance that he let slip by him. But standing his ground, he didn't let that happen. At second half, it started better for Leeds, you know, but certainly in terms of possession, and McCarthy wasn't really tested. I just felt that if they would get that one chance, then they'd be able to take it. And Harrison, you know, he come in with that, you know, some quick feet running through Romeu, took a shot, but it was that man at the back, Salisu, with the block. And that was a chance that, you know, they could have taken the upset. And, you know, they were on the attack again. And Diallo wins the ball in our box and he sends it to Gineppo. Gineppo's on his way doing what he does. And he puts the through ball into Redmond. And he's off. That was a perfectly weighted pass from Gineppo. Redmond now. These are the moments he's criticised for most, you know, his decision making in the final third. It's always been wrong this season. But this time he slides the ball square to Broja and Broja hits the roof of the net and we get the well-deserved lead.
Oh, yeah. It was great. I want to give Gineppo the biggest props on that play. He's the one who was able to, once he got the ball off the corner, off the counterattack, he found the space, and that's Gineppo's job. He finds the space and then put that amazing through ball on his opposite foot through to Redmond, who made the run properly. Brojo did a great job doing the follow-up, find the positioning. The Leeds defender, I think it was Cooper or Llorente, he took the angle to the goal, and he let Broja just kind of go with it. From there, he put it right, the best he possibly could, put it right over Meslier's head and put it to the roof of the net and absolutely got clobbered afterwards. I do not know how he didn't get a yellow card after that. He absolutely deserved a yellow card. So it was Cooper or Llorente. Whoever knocked that guy, whoever knocked him out, deserves a yellow card, because that is stuff you can't do.
A bit late. It certainly was. Yeah. But, you know, after the goal, we didn't change the way we played, which was, again, that was really, really pleasing, because, you know, we could have sat back a little bit and, you know, allowed the pressure, but we didn't. And we could have had more, could and should have had more. And Gineppo comes off. Stuart Armstrong comes on. So good to see him back. You know, even if it's going to take him a little bit of time to get, you know, back up to full match fitness again. But yeah, it's so, so good to see him back. And I hope he's starting against Burnley.
He looked a little rusty out there, but we needed to get some legs in, and this is the perfect game and opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just perfect time for him to come on, really, wasn't it? And that's not a knock on Gineppo, by the way. Redmond, the instigator again in most attacks, and Elianusi almost doubled the lead. He was good. Saturday as well. Always full of energy. But Saturday, he was more than that. You know, he almost added goals. He was chasing down a lot of lost causes as well, Elianusi, closing down Meslier at every opportunity.
Honestly, you just want to clap your hands and say, great job, everybody. Keep it up. Do what you do.
Awesome. I just feel like he needs more praise for his performance, because he was selfless, I feel. I don't want to spend a lot of time with the negatives, because why should we? Why should we? Let's just run away with this win. But I do have to mention that best chance that you've already brought up. The Salisu, Dan James, probably the only error of the game was his awareness of Dan James when he was put it wide, didn't he, when one-on-one with Maka.
Yeah, we've seen that from before from Salisu, even going back to when he first started playing with us last season. He's down to have a mishap here and there. And for all the many times over, 10 plus times that he was able to block the shots or get in positioning, because he was literally everywhere, that he's got to be aware that Dan James, once again, a squirrely guy, while he wasn't here in 2019 when Man United, for that first 30 minutes when United played right around the last week of August, the game that I went to, he was just absolutely could not be stopped because, and he scored a worldie just out from outside the box too.
Yeah, I remember. Game. Yeah, went 1-0 up, didn't they?
Yeah, he went 1-0 up that way. So he's fast, he's quick, and he's got to be aware of that. So, and he even took the ball up multiple times too, realizing that he had the space there, which is not something normally that he would do. He probably he looked like a couple times going forward. He's like, wait. No one's gonna stop me. I'm gonna do this. Yeah. What's going on here? What do I do?
And he's Jack Stevens. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you just gotta be aware. I mean, if he would have just realized he was going on, just kicked that ball and knocked it out of bounds or something like that, nobody would have thought about anything except for the fact that, well, he misplayed it a little bit. Whereas you can really mess up and you can't get a chance like that on somebody who's got the speed like Dan James does.
Yes. Breyer had a wild shot when he should have squared it to Redmond towards the end of the game. Very, very poor judgment. Redmond was furious at the end of that, but that, oh God, that's, again, that's awareness also. That's going to have to come in his game, surely.
I think that's him just being younger, honestly. Yeah. I think if in those situations and 500 times later, you know, he's 23, 24 years old. In that situation, he's going to have a little bit more awareness where his teammate's going to be at. Redmond was coming in far on the right side, and Broja, the entire mindset for him was to shoot. So they had a great ball over the top. He got it, and he's like, well, I'm going to score this thing. And Redmond's like, no, I'm right here. Pass it over. And he was open, and he wasn't thinking.
No, I'm sure he gave him a bit of a slap in the dressing room afterwards as well. Hopefully, anyway. You mentioned earlier that you weren't as nervous at the end of the game. Saw the game. Well, I mean, yeah, we saw the game out, but we didn't even need to hang on, did we? Because Leeds offered nothing. I was expecting the onslaught, especially when the 5 minutes gets added on, but nothing.
It was just nice. It was
yeah.
I don't think I wasn't super duper comfortable, but it was nice.
Was nice. It was a change. That was it. 1-0 win. First 3 points of the season. Totally deserved. Totally dominant. Best performance of the season, possibly. And I realised that Breuer, Redmond and Solisi are going to get the deserved plaudits. So I want to focus a bit more attention on the unsung hero here, Ibrahima Diallo. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. He was so calm under pressure. He broke everything up. Lots of touches. I mean, he ranked second in pressing, second in tackles, second in interceptions, led the team in loose ball recoveries. One of the best performances from him in his young Saints career. And coming in under difficult circumstances, let's not forget. You know, without James Ward-Prowse, all eyes were going to be on him.
He was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Like, we talk about Solisi making that one gaffe there. Diallo didn't have any. He was fantastic all around. I saw him anywhere from the corner, our own corner, all the way to the opposite corner. He basically covered as much ground as the ref does in a game.
Yeah. And he had a lot, he looked like he had a lot of time on the ball as well. He was just, yeah. I'm so, so pleased with how he's coming on. It's brilliant. So I want to look at some stats because 47% possession, which is quite telling, really, because Leeds seeing more of the ball and we gave them nothing, not one shot on target. Defensive dominance when it mattered. And they had 3 shots in total to our 19. And yet they saw more of the ball. That just goes to show how many times we were winning that ball in the middle of the park because they could not do anything with it in the final third. Not a chance.
They had 0.45 XG to our 1.83 out of all of them. It's just showing you that they got nothing. They had absolutely nothing.
And that was down to us. That was down to individual performers.
It's more of a props to us than to them not doing that well.
Oh, I totally agree with you, and I just wish they'd jump on that a little bit more. But a very, very difficult question for you. Man of the match. I mean, take your pick, because I could have given it to Solisi, Breuer, Redmond. I mean, Diallo, the list goes on. But who are you going with?
I was going to give it to Salisu. I had it in my mind basically through the first half going through, and then all of a sudden the Dan James gaffe came through, and I'm like, you can't do that. Like, that's
same here, mate. Same here. That's exactly my fault.
Yeah. So let's give where props is due. I mean, it's like a 50-50 split between Diallo and Redmond for me. I'm gonna go with Diallo because this was his standout performance and his best performance he's ever had for us. And you said it was like, it is his best performance in my opinion. Absolutely fantastic. Great on the ball. Saw him everywhere. Redmond doing had his strengths where his strengths were at. And, you know, that's the expectation for him. Diallo set himself apart though, and his best performance ever, in the Saints, lineup. Congrats to him, man of the match.
Good performance. It could have been a list of people, but because they were all fantastic. Salisu was a monster in the box. You know, awesome performances, blocks, tackles. You know, just crucial. And Broya too. I mean, you didn't mention him, but not just his goal, but his endeavour, his presence in the box, his movement, his energy. He's showing us that he's more than just a sub. Just another quality performance. So it comes down to me. I think I'm going to have to give the edge to Redmond, mostly because he's proved us all wrong again, you know, which was incredible, really, because this is the Redmond that we all want to see. I know I've criticised him over recent weeks, and for him to put in a performance like this, it's turned my head again, and I hopefully we can see this more. But, you know, he drove the play, he ran at Leeds, he played 1-2s, he didn't stop running. He took shots, he got in the right positions, involved all his teammates, made the right decisions, got an assist, and just not that lazy performance of late. No hands on hips, no staying offside. Just not a bad word to say about him yesterday, and he deserved a goal for that display. He should have had one if Broya had a squared it to him. But yeah, Nathan Redmond, as the title would suggest, everybody loves Redmond at the moment. Position 15th now, with another crucial game coming up next week against Burnley.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay, then, Burnley at home next week, Saturday the 23rd of October, 3 o'clock kickoff. Burnley, Tim, what are their nicknames?
Clarets.
The Clarets, that'll do. Famous fans, do you know any of them?
No.
No, I don't think you would. Okay, so we've got BBC Radio 1 presenter Jordan North. We've got England fast bowler James Anderson. We've got former Prime Minister Ted Heath. And one for you, Tim, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. It's all about money for him. Basically,
he's a club slot, yeah.
Yeah. You give him $5,000, he'll put whatever shirt you want on and tell it's the best team in the world, and it's what it's all about.
On to the serious stuff then. Burnley. Struggling this season. Still winless on 3 points. Second from bottom. But with Burnley, you know what you're going to get, don't you? You know you're going to get a tough physical side that are going to be well organised and set up not to concede many. But they don't have a lot of quality in terms of going forward. They're struggling to find the net like we are. Only 4 goals this season in the league, and no one has scored 2. We know they're going to be probably put up a tougher game than Leeds did, let's face it. And if we think that we're going to get an easier game than Leeds, you know, then think again. That's probably going to be the worst away performance at St Mary's this season. But, you know, we have to build on that Leeds win, and we have to take them again. We have to expect the win. Got to go for it. Got to start well like we did against Leeds and just don't let up.
Burnley, while they lost 2-0 against Man City, they didn't sit back. They actually did a great job going forward. Caught the highlights from them, and it's scary. It's always Burnley. You never know with a Sean Dyche team. You never know what's going to happen. Chris Wood's going to hit a worldie. Charlie Taylor's going to come in and act like he's, you know, 19 years old and just smacking around the park. Or Dwight McNeil is going to be the best player in the history of time. He's just, something's always going to go to their benefit, and it's always a scary whenever you do play them because they're so physical, they're so drilled in, and you know what to expect. You just don't know who it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, they have got their threats, haven't they? They do. I mean, they've got a decent goalkeeper. They've got Nick Pope, haven't they? I like Josh Brown here. I like Ashley Westwood and Dwight McNeil, you've mentioned. They've got the physical presence of Chris Wood. Of course, they've got the ex-Saints in Jack Hawk and Jay Rodriguez. So they are. I mean, the defence as well. I think Ben Mee's out, but they've got Tarkowski, who I'm a big fan of. So they have got the players, and they always seem to set up in that same 4-4-2, don't they, with the same sort of players coming off the bench to replace the ones that have been on there. So, like I said, you know what you're going to get with them. But, yeah, you're not going to get blown away by them like we did a couple of years ago. But are we going to score against them?
Potentially. So, Burnley, they are 19th right now with only 3 points. They have no wins, unlike us, who has won, which is great. Like I said, 2-0 loss to City. They had just a little over one XG in the game. So they're making some progress going forward, even against a team like City, but not able to capitalize. So new signing that they had this year, I want to talk about Maxwell Cornet. He is flare on flare on flare. Basically, he's a bargain bin, Alan Saint-Maximin. Not expected to be able to come in. He's primarily played as a left wing back in his previous stints elsewhere. But he is actually coming in and playing a much more advanced role. They recognized that when he scored against, was it Everton or Leicester? I think it was Leicester that he came in.
Sir.
He had that.
He's got one.
Yeah, he's got one so far and then pulled up with a hammy. But he's back and ready to go. And so
I think he was very advanced against Man City, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He's extremely advanced. So we thought coming in that he's been previously playing left back in his previous roles. So playing this far forward in a 4-4-2 when he's much more of a winger, he's playing a very free role right now. So that's going to be the key battle in the lineup to see and how he roams around and who's going to be able to manage him. Because if we got lit up by Saint-Maximin, we have to basically take what Saint-Maximin does and what we did wrong against it and do the opposite and play it against Cornet. That's also a testament to Eric Peters wanting to stay in the lineup for them on the left back side. Vidra was also injured as well. He was off for the Czech Republic, so basically he's the equivalent of Adams to us. He played twice for them over the international break and did not come back to be able to play. And we all know about Burnley's 4-4-2 formation. Expectations, Pope is going to start. As you mentioned, Ben Mee, center back, he is out with COVID. But then we've got Peters on the left back, Tarkowski, who's looking like he's going to go to Newcastle. His contract is ending at the end of this year, so he's probably the closest and most realistic signing that they can make come here in January, or at least on a pre-contract agreement for Newcastle and their new ownership group, alongside Matt Loughton, who's the right back. In the center, we've got McNeil, Goodmanson, Westwood, and Brownhill are my predictions. Jack Cork did play for them, but I think Goodmanson will come in to replace. And Wood and Glenn Cornett, who's going to play probably, like I said, that free role where Wood's going to play that real top target man, striker, a little bit, you know, all around forward, whatever you want to call him. But look for Cornett to play the role of Redmond to Wood playing the role of Broja. And having that combination of link-up play and then a little bit more flair than Redmond's got with Cornet.
Yeah, and they've still got the likes of like a Jay Rodriguez and Ashley Barnes and an Aaron Lennon on the bench. So they've still got some weapons there.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to have any much change in formation. The only thing I can think of is if Broja's is out, we saw him after he got clobbered, he was hobbling around for the last 20 minutes. And then we'll see what Adams is like as well, if he's able to come back. But ultimately, I think he's not going to change anything, with this lineup that we had today.
No reason to at the moment. I don't think so. So with that in mind, Tim, would you like to go first with your prediction?
It's Burnley, so it's going to be a scrap. 1-1.
1-1. Okay. Right. I'm going to be building off the back of this Leeds one, and I'm going to go for a win. I'm going to say that we do take our chances. We do create our chances. And I say we're going to win a nice, comfortable, controlled, measured 2-0 win. How is that for optimism then?
Take it.
Kevin and Alex, I still haven't had their predictions yet, so I will get those and post them. So we know they're not cheating. The wives then. Gemma is obviously going for her customary 0-0. She said she's got no reason to change it, and it is Burnley. So let's face it, it could quite easily be a 0-0. What about Abby? What's she going to take?
She's taking 2-1. Saints win.
Good on her. Right, okay, we'll go into extra time.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay then, we'll start extra time off as usual with the predictions. I went 1-1, Kev went 2-1 Saints, you went 2-1 Leeds, and Alex also went 1-1. So the only person to score points there was Kevin, who predicted a Saints win. So that leaves the scores. Alex on 4, you, Tim, on 6, me on 11, and Kev has jumped into the lead now on 13. Wife wars then, Jen went 0-0, obviously. Marina went 2-0 Saints, Abby went 1-1, and Caitlin went 1-0 Leeds. So, similar story. No one scoring points apart from Marina, so the Milvertons are running away with it this week. Points after the Leeds game, then Abby and Caitlin are on 8. Oh, and Gemma is on 8 also, and Marina is going away with it on 13. Gotta put a stop to this. Super 6, then two rounds since our last recording. Round 13 was won by Stephen McCullough with 14 points. And round 14 was Yasmin Wiseman and Tom Hennigan with 12. The overall lead, Colin Carter on 130, running away with it now. I think he's got like a 16, 17 point lead, I think, from the last time I looked. So that is all good. Remember, if you want to join our Super 6 League, you still can. Your points are going to be rolled over. The code is YZLCSM. And same with fantasy football. If you'd like to join that, the code is Y65WV5. Or you can just send us a message and we'll let you have it. Speaking of fantasy football, how did you get on this week, Tim?
I'm sitting on 39 at the moment. So we'll see. Salah just got us 26 points, which is great. I've still got Ben White, the West Ham players, Ben Rama and Antonio to go. And then Son, who's looking like he's potentially out with COVID, did not change him, get him out of the lineup. Along with Jota, who didn't even play.
Who else is on your bench?
Sar, Cresswell, and Livermento.
Oh, okay. Well, they'll probably bring Sar on, won't they?
Sar is definitely coming on for Jota already. And then we'll see what happens with, if Son's out, it'll be Cresswell. And then everybody else, Shaw did play.
No, it's been quite a tough week. I don't think there's been many high scores. I'm on 46 this week, and I picked Sanchez in goal, which kept a clean sheet. And obviously, I got Salah as my captain also. Wan-Bissaka scored me minus one, though. Shit. Yeah, Ings got me 7. I've still got Rafinha in because I thought there might be a chance he could make it. And I kept Conor Gallagher out of the side because of it. But he could still potentially come in. And I've got Sam Maximan to come in and Cresswell also. So, I could be a lot better off, but it all needs to go my way. Right, in the Podders League, then, we have Mikey Maidman on 66 this week, which is pretty good so far. Oliver Boast leads the way from Matt Markstone in the league overall. And in the big league, we have Gaz Smith with his Gazlacticos and Nemesis with his or her, I don't know, Squid Game on 64 points so far this week. And the overall lead, we have Saddam Milosevic's Sunderland with 547. I didn't even see how Kev had got on. Can you see him at all? Because I want to name and shame him. Alex got 41 points this week.
Intertella is on 45 points this week.
Ah, beaten by 1 point. Yep. Excellent. He had Rafinha.
He captained Salah, and he's got a target coming in, though, for Rafinha, which is only one more point.
Oh, and he's got Sam Maximan still to play. And Cresswell. He's got pretty much similar Saints team to me. No wonder why they bloody got similar sort of points. But yeah.
I've got four players who can score still, which is good.
Me too. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. They just need to do it. No Russian phrase this week because, as I say, the Moscow Mush is not here.
I could do a Southern phrase, though.
Yeah, if you wish, give us a Southern phrase.
All right, so Southern phrase, one of the most quintessential ones you'll ever hear, bless your heart. So many different meanings to it. You can actually truly mean it as a thank you and say, oh, bless your heart, you mean so well. Or bless your heart, how lucky for you, that's so great. But the true Southern way to say it, and by the true Southern, in the idea that you are passive-aggressive, It is actually a knockdown of who you are. So to all the Leeds fans who are singing and shouting craziness, bless your heart, because I don't want to be nice to you, but I have to. So bye-bye. Enjoy your train back to Yorkshire. You sucked. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. I like it. Well done, Tim. Another reminder of Buy Me a Coffee. If you appreciate what we do and you feel like you want to buy us a pint, then please head over to buymeacoffee.com/in that number. Next week, hopefully Kevin's back. That's not a knock on you, Tim. I'm just saying, just put that out there now. Hopefully we'll have all three of us in. We will be chatting through that Burnley game, and we will prepare you for both our Carabao Cup fourth round trip to Stamford Bridge and our trip to Vicarage Road for another crucial game against Watford. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.